We are in a series in the Gospel of Luke, and so we are now in the 12th chapter, and we're in a little mini-series actually, as we've gone. This is the fourth sermon of that mini-series that we are to fear God, cheer God, and hear God. And this is the last of that little mini-series of chapter 12. Just some context quickly. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was having some trouble with the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. And they were telling Jesus that he was casting out demons by the power of Satan himself. And Jesus turned to them and said, "It is because of the darkness that is in you that you do not see the light." And they were very, very frustrated with Jesus. They hated Jesus. Jesus didn't baptize his hands in the religious way that the scribes and Pharisees did before they ate, and in their rituals, their man-made, legalistic, hypocritical laws. And then Jesus rebukes them. Six times he curses them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." And then he turns to his disciples and he says, beware the yeast or the leaven of these Pharisees, their false gospel, their hypocrisy. They think they're right with God, but nothing can be further from the truth. And it is in this context that he speaks now. Tens of thousands of people are coming to hear Jesus. And instead of speaking to those people first, he turns to his disciples and he says, "Guys, fear God, don't fear man." In other words, he says, these guys are going to want to kill me, and they will eventually, and they're going to want to kill you, and they will eventually. But don't fear man, fear God. Fear the one who can take your life and destroy your soul in hell. And so that was the first one. We said, fear God. Fear God the Father. And then a week later, we said, cheer God the Son. Jesus said, you must acknowledge me before man. And if you don't acknowledge me, I will not acknowledge you before the angels of God in heaven. And so we said to cheer God the Son, to cheer Jesus, was to confess him as Savior and Lord, believing in your heart and proclaiming him with your mouth. And so we are to cheer the Son, lift his name up and proclaim him. And then last week we said, finally, we are to hear God, the Holy Spirit. And it was when Jesus said to them, all sin against or blasphemy against the Son of Man, whether it is against God or God the Father, God the Son, is forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable, the unforgivable sin. And we said, what does that mean? And that is rejecting the Spirit when the Spirit shares the gospel. When someone, it might look like your friend, it might be a preacher, it might be an evangelist, it might be you reading the Bible or a little tract or whatever the case may be, but in that moment when the Spirit says, "I'm opening your eyes to the gospel, this is the truth." You may have heard the gospel before, but in that moment, he has that moment to respond to the truth, and you don't respond to the Spirit to understand, to hear the gospel. You've blasphemed the Holy Spirit and you cannot be forgiven. And so all those other blasphemes, if you blaspheme the Father, blaspheme the Son, as we all do naturally, as human beings, we're born in a state of sin. We blaspheme God. We blaspheme the Son. In other words, we don't hold them up for who they really are. But when the Spirit reveals that truth, and we're not open to that truth, we've blasphemed the Spirit. So if you're saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit, you have not blasphemed the Spirit. But if you're not, you've blasphemed the Spirit, unless you will respond and hear him today. And so fear God, cheer God, hear God has been our theme. And we said that no one can know the Father unless the Son has revealed him. No one can know the Son unless whom? The Holy Spirit reveals the Son. And so we have to see God as the Trinitarian God, the one God in three persons. And so that has been our theme. And so we're finishing off that theme this week. So Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, I've asked a few guys to read for us.
"And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh."
And so here we see the work of God in salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit giving us a new heart, giving us a new spirit, giving us himself and responding to him. And so we are to hear the Spirit. Okay, so it is so important for us to confess Jesus is Lord by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, what does it say, David?
No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
So you cannot come to salvation in Christ without the Holy Spirit. And so this is what, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So God is revealed through the Son, God the Father. Christ the Son is revealed by the Holy Spirit because we're all born naturally blind. Now what? Now we get to verse 11. Verse 11 tells us where we see Jesus talking to his disciples and says, okay, now I've told you not to be scared of people. Don't fear man. Fear God. To cheer God. To hear God, the Holy Spirit. And now I want you to hear him in this way. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12.
And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
So notice verse 11 again. And?
When.
One more time. And?
When.
Does it say if? No, it says when. And so Jesus says to his disciples, this is going to happen. I'm going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. And when you stand before these synagogues and these rulers, don't be anxious about how you're going to defend yourself. And don't be anxious about what you're going to say. Because in that very hour, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you what to say. The Holy Spirit will cause you to remember everything that I have taught you. Now that's important. It's not through some form of osmosis. It's not just some kind of mystical, whoa, you're going to say things that you've never learned before. And that's important for the lesson today. Look at what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. The Great Commission. Jesus is sending out his disciples to go and make more disciples. And look at what he says to them. Paul, Matthew 28.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
All right, so go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Here we see the Trinity again. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them. Teach them to observe what? All that I've taught you, I've commanded you. Some translations say everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Say all.
All.
What does that mean? Everything and all. All right. This verse would have scared me to death. Because when I've sat in class and the teacher's been going, yep, yep, blah, blah, have I been listening to everything? And I'm going, look, I've got to teach them everything? You mean everything, Lord? How am I supposed to remember that? My wife sends me to the shop to go and get a loaf of bread, and I'm halfway out the driveway, and I'm going, where am I going again? What am I supposed to be doing? My mind is like a sieve. How am I supposed to remember everything and impart that to everybody else? Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 25.
When people have a dispute, they are to take it to court.
Okay, that's not John chapter 14, verse 25.
All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
So he will teach you all things and he will bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. So here we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in these apostles. All that I've taught you for 3.5 years of ministry, the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance. And that's why when we open up the scriptures, we know that they're God-breathed. Because the Holy Spirit has inspired them. The Holy Spirit has brought to remembrance as these apostles were taught by Jesus and they wrote them down. All supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to bring the word so that we can be enlightened by God and His Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed, given by God, breathed out by God. It's from His Holy Spirit. And so that's what Jesus was talking about. He's given it to them so that we can have it as well. We can be taught. God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance God's word when they needed it, and for us now, when we need it. Let's look at that context. When you are brought before the synagogues and the rulers. And so what's a synagogue?
A religious place.
A religious place.
Okay,
a religious place for religious people, an establishment particularly for the Jewish people. So the Jews would congregate in these synagogues. They would be all over the place. And so you are going to be brought before synagogues and the synagogue leaders. And we're going to see soon that these leaders, or many people in the synagogues, could actually administer justice for people who have broken the law, or when two people have come together and there's been a dispute and whoever's the winner and the loser, the justice would be administered by these synagogues or their leaders. Or also the Roman rulers that are going to be, that are oppressing the nation of Israel at this time. And so here we see Deuteronomy chapter 24. Check it out what it says, verse 1 and 3, what the law says about these synagogues.
When people have a dispute, they are to take it to court, and the judges will decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. If a guilty person deserves to be beaten, the judge shall make them lie down and have them flogged in his presence with the number of lashes the crime deserves. But the judge must not impose more than 40 lashes. If a guilty party is flogged more than that, your fellow Israelite will be degraded in your eyes.
So if you are given more than 40 lashes, what?
You'll be degraded.
Your fellow Israelite is degraded in your eyes. So the Jews were so careful not to give more than 40 lashes. So what they did was the guy that gave the lashes would count. Then they would have a witness and even another witness. And they'd all be counting to ensure that they wouldn't give more than 40 lashes. Plus, they would only give 39 lashes just in case they miscounted. Even all three of them. Because none of them wanted to administer the law or justice on anybody, but then break the law themselves. And so it became known as 40 minus 1. Or 39 lashes. And so the Apostle Paul actually tells us in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 22, verse 19, he confesses that he was one of these who would give this, administer this to others. He would be beating others with these 39 or 40 minus 1 or 39 lashes. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at what Paul says. He was the recipient of these himself. 2 Corinthians 11.
5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea.
So Paul faced some real hardships and persecutions for the gospel, didn't he? And so here we see 5 times he faced the Jews, the 40 lashes minus 1. Others, plus other beatings and so on. Pelted with stones and shipwrecked. Been shipwrecked. I don't know about you, but I'm a terrible tester. Anyone terrible tester in the house? I panic. I mean, I'll do the work and I'll get to the test. And I'm a terrible tester. I remember when I went to do my driver's license in the States. I'm almost 30 years old. I've been driving for years, but I had to come and do another license again. I sat down with a computer and there's a help phone there and you can pick it up and speak a different language. I pick up the phone. Through the whole test, I was sitting with the phone like this, but I didn't even need the phone. And Lucy afterwards said, "What did you do with the phone?" I said, "I don't know, but my arm's really sore from holding the phone the whole time." I just panicked. And so I remember when I was probably in about the 5th grade, and I've told some of you the story before, but I had to learn about the bean in biology or health or whatever subject it was. I don't even remember what the subject was. But I had to learn about the bean, and it was just the different parts and facets of a bean. And my mom said, "I'm going out, and I'll be back soon. I'm going to ask you, going to quiz you about the bean." "Yeah, yeah, sure, Ma, bye." You know. So mom goes out, and as she goes, my brother has got an axe in the front yard, and he's hacking at a tree, and he puts the axe down on the living room table, and she says, "You need to put that back in the garage," to my brother. And he forgets about it. So my mom gets home, and she sits down, and she goes, "Okay, tell me about the bean." And I go, the bean. And as she looks down, she sees the axe on the dirty axe on the table. And she picks up the axe. She goes, "Do my children never listen to me?" Now she's cross with my brother. But I look up and I see her waving an axe. And I go, the bean, the bean, the bean. And all I can say is the bean, but I don't know anything. Everything's gone blank because I see this axe waving in front of me. So, you know, think about those times in our lives where we are scared to death for our lives. And in that moment, can you think straight? Can you test it? Can you tell the truth? Here I see the Apostle Paul facing all these hardships. But as you go through the scriptures, go through the book of Acts, you see him giving his testimony and preaching the gospel time after time after time in face of so much danger, his life on the line. In the book of Acts, we see Peter and John. Peter and John are standing in front of the whole Sanhedrin. That's the Supreme Court of the Jews, these 70 great religious leaders. And they boldly proclaim the gospel. Not only proclaim the gospel, but they boldly look at these Jewish leaders and they say, "You killed Jesus." You go, wow, where do you get so much boldness? But what does it say in chapter 4? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus is talking about. This is what Jesus is telling his boys about. He says, guys, this is going to come. And when it comes, don't be anxious. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to give you the boldness and the words that you need to say. He's going to bring to remembrance what you need to say. And they preached the gospel beautifully. And these religious leaders looked at them and saw that they were unschooled, ordinary men. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. And that's the point. And that's the lesson for us. And then just a few chapters later in Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen. Stephen, one of those men who were chosen to help with the feeding of the widows in the church that had just exploded with growth. And so this man, Stephen, is preaching the gospel. And the Jews say, yes, this guy is blaspheming. He's speaking against Moses and against the law. And so they call him in. And Stephen's there knowing. This is probably the end of his life as he's standing before these guys. When you read Acts chapter 7, you see the beautiful, beautiful preaching of the gospel. If you take the Old Testament from the beginning to the time of the gospels, and you're still new to the Bible, and you say, well, how do I get this all in a nutshell? Read Stephen's sermon. He beautifully brings the whole gospel together from the Old Testament to the time of Jesus and what Jesus has done. Jesus is the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And he preaches this with boldness and clarity. And then they pick up rocks and stones and they kill him. But look at the boldness that he has, because the Holy Spirit gave him the words to say. And he looks up and he sees Jesus in heaven standing, bringing him, ushering him back into heaven, saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. All these servants of God, filled with the Spirit, having clarity of mind and thought, knowing what to say because the Spirit has brought it to their remembrance. That's the point. So what's the point for us? The point for us is don't worry and don't be anxious. If you are a born-again believer, you've been born again by the Spirit, and therefore God's Spirit lives in you. When you get into a time of persecution, maybe no one's going to be stoning you or hitting you with rods or 40 lashes minus one. Maybe, maybe not. But maybe that time is just a time where you're standing before a friend or a neighbor or someone. There's an opportunity for you to share the gospel. And by nature, that scares the living daylights out of you. Jesus says, don't be anxious, for the Spirit will bring to remembrance and teach you what to say. The word here for teach is didasko. It's used 220 times in the New Testament. And almost every single time, the context is the scriptures. It will teach you the scriptures. And so Jesus is no way promoting a lazy Christianity. Lazy Christianity which says, I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to retain anything that I read or sermons or anything like that. I'm just going to go there by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to just somehow magically give me all these things that I'm going to remember. He's not promoting a lazy Christianity. What he's saying to us is that the Spirit will teach you, bring to your mind, your 5x5 that we study here in our church. As you read a chapter of the day, the verse of the month, as you study it, he will bring you. You will not remember these things. I remember when I was just a few weeks old as a Christian, I guess. Maybe a few months old. And we were studying, it was called Evangelism Explosion 3. It was an outreach program. And never mind a verse of the month, we had to memorize 5 verses per week. Week! Okay? With his mind like mine. 5 verses a week. And so I was at home and I was trying to study these verses, trying to get them into this noggin of mine, and there was a knock on the door. Lo and behold, there were some Jehovah's Witnesses who came to visit. And I thought, I can't get this thing into my mind. Well, I'm welcome this distraction. So I invited the Jehovah's Witnesses in, and I became arrogant. And I wanted to say to them, hey, what about John chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word was God. In their New World Translation, they say was a God. They believe that Jesus is less than God. Jesus was created by God. He's not the eternal Son of God. So I wanted to challenge them on this. And so I arrogantly said, you know, what about this verse? But the words wouldn't even come out of my mouth. I guess I was so anxious about this. And I was like, that's kind of how it came out. And I said, whoa. And I tried it again. And I said, tell you what, would you like a cup of coffee? They said, no, thanks. I said, well, I'd like a cup of coffee. And I went back into the kitchen and I opened up the refrigerator. And in my early days of Christianity, I went to a Methodist church, a Baptist church, and a charismatic church. Or, you know, trying to get a bit of each. And so picking up from the charismatic church, I started to bind Satan. And I started to yell at the devil, not yell at the devil on top of my voice, but yell at, say, Satan, I bind you. And I go, and all of a sudden I thought, well, what am I doing? And I said, Lord, forgive me. Here I am arrogantly trying to tell these guys what's what. Please, Lord, Holy Spirit, you take over. You show me what to do. And you won't believe the amazing sense of peace and relief I just felt in that moment. I closed that fridge and I went back out there and I sat down and began to talk with these guys. And they began to say, you know, well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And I said, oh, that's one of the verses I was just learning. And I said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And they said, yes, that's right. Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And I said, that's another verse I was just learning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Yes. And they said, well, the Bible says in John 17, verse 3. And I said, I don't believe it. It's another verse. Now, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And they said, yeah, that's right. Well, I see you know your Bible. Now, all I knew were those verses that I was learning. And I couldn't even get them into my head. And so, nobody got saved in that moment. But what happened in that moment, the Holy Spirit gave me the peace of mind to remember what I had studied. What I've heard from Christ, His Word. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here. He will bring to mind, you won't forget everything. He will bring to mind what you need to say in that moment. Now, I'm sure many of you, like me, since then I've met many people and tried to share the gospel. And I've just, what was a few months ago, I had some Jehovah's Witnesses in my house again. And I remember every time they left, because we came, we had about 3 or 4 meetings. Every time they left, I went, oh, I should have said this. Oh, why didn't I say that? But you know what? I said exactly what I needed to say. And we need to trust the Lord in that. Don't be anxious. The Holy Spirit will teach you to say what you need to say. And Peter, in 1 Peter, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 15, as we close, this is what he says.
But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
And so the same Peter that Jesus was talking to with the other apostles, where Jesus says, don't be anxious, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say, says to us, be prepared. See? Open your word. Study the word. Study the gospel. Our verse of the month for the last few months is a gospel presentation from John chapter 3, verse 16 to John chapter 3, verse 21. It's the gospel presentation. And so, learn it. And in the time when you need it, the Holy Spirit will give you the remembrance of those words and even perhaps other necessary words to say. So trust Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for your word that has saved us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that you have given us the awesome responsibility to share this gospel with others. And Lord, we might be shy people. We know for most of us, sharing the gospel is a daunting task. But Lord, you have given us the tools just in these few verses. and what we've known, our own testimony of the gospel, so that we can be saved. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit will give us the boldness and bring to remembrance scriptures and the words to say that will glorify your name, proclaim the gospel, and that people will be saved. And that you, Lord, get all the glory. Help us, we pray. If there's anybody here today that has never responded to the gospel, and today says, I need to surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus. I need to surrender my life that you become my Savior, my Lord, and my King. Surrender today and let Him take over. Let Him be the Lord of your life. That you would have a testimony of salvation and be saved and worship Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.